salvation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word.
Fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment has come. That's the beginning of what our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, calls the good news out of Revelation 14, verses 5 through 8, here on Through the Bible Today. Good news? You might be wondering how Dr. McGee equates the hour of judgment with good news. Well, stay with us and you'll find out in just a minute. I'm Steve Schwetz, your host. Welcome aboard the Bible Bus as our five-year journey through God's entire Word continues. Before we jump into our study of Revelation, though, we've got time for a quick update from Through the Bible's president, Greg Harris, and he's here with us to tell us more about a pretty cool thing happening in Africa.
Yeah, Steve, I don't know if you've ever seen, like, in a movie or some visual representation where they sort of start out in space and pan down into a high rise and then into somebody's room.
I believe that's called framing.
Yeah, something like that. Well, you know people in the industry.
In the business. Yes,
you do. So this is kind of what we're getting to do today. Imagine if we could do that all the time and see all over the world the individual stories of people and the ways that God is using through the Bible. And this to me is one of those. And we're going to zoom in on a hospital in Africa. Okay, we're going to tell this story, and I want to tell you, it came through our TWR Africa TTB coordinator, and her name is Hannah Bochiadam. And the reason I'm telling you that is she is the daughter of Stephen Bochiadam, who is now with the Lord, and Stephen was the African director of TWR. I worked with him for years.
Great man of God.
An amazing man of God. There's just certain people in my life that, to me, are larger than life, and he used to say, Africa needs Jesus. He always said that, and he had this amazing energy, and now his daughter is coordinating the work of TTB in Africa. So I just needed to throw that in. So why don't you start reading from this report? I think our listening family is really going to enjoy this.
Yeah, here it is. We started airing TTB Shona at the Karanda Mission Hospital on 7th February 2020, which, those of you that know dates, that's as the pandemic was ramping up. This was part of the efforts to find new ways of airing the program and increase listener responses. The hospital airs the program 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 11 a.m. on their public address system.
I love this.
Boy, we need this in the U.S.
Imagine this. Yeah, in the U.S. Yeah. I think the ACLU would be involved.
Probably. There is a special tag on the program that informs listeners to tune into the MW broadcast. That's medium wave.
Right. Good.
For more TTB Shona programs. The tag also informs listeners that they can leave feedback at the hospital help desk. Wow. The program has received some good feedback and encouraging testimonies since the airing began.
And Steve, I know just from listening to people around the world, there are a lot of these kind of little broadcast ministries going on.
That we have nothing to do with.
Well, exactly. We don't have anything to do with it, but somebody took our content, this great teaching, and they wanted others to hear it. Actually, in India, they have what they call a loudspeaker ministry.
Yeah.
And they just
blast it,
and people
5 a.m. at a bus stop, up goes the speaker in the dark, and you're hearing Dr. McGee in Indian, in whatever language is there.
So here you have just a hospital in Africa, and like you said, this would probably never happen in the U.S., where they'd broadcast through the Bible on the public address system.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
And although the story is nice, it's always great to hear from the listeners themselves.
Yes.
So here's one from the Karnada Mission Hospital. Many thanks for the teaching today. It was powerful. If you give away reading material, please may I get some so that I can continue nourishing my soul as the doctors help my weak body.
That's awesome. And here's another one. Thank you for such encouraging messages. I've been given wisdom, and wisdom is very important in life. Since my coming here, I have been helped spiritually and physically. I did not value the importance of the word, but for 3 days now, I've been listening to your broadcast and got spiritual insight.
That's great. Now, here's one. This one, unique angle. This is from a hospital staff member, someone in the hospital who's sick. Thank you for the program. I always listen to the program and suddenly have found myself having more time with my Bible. Funny how that works. I don't know. Maybe when you brought this program, your target were the patients, but personally, I'm getting encouraged each day. Thank you so much.
I just love, Steve, the way the Lord chooses to fill his purposes and complete the things that he wants to do in people's lives in ways that we could never imagine.
Yeah, gosh, I wish we had time for more because we've still got more here. Greg, pray for us as we begin our study.
Father, we know you are ultimately creative and you do wonderful things. Thank you for taking your word into so many places and making such an impact. We pray you'll continue to do that around the world and in our lives today as we study. In Jesus' name, amen.
Now here's Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now, I want to come back today to verses 4 and 5 of this 14th chapter, and we have just come through the Great Tribulation, that is, studying it here, and especially looking at these seven tremendous personalities that were presented to us. And then after them, we have this hiatus, this parenthesis that fills in some more detail with other persons. Now, some of these we've looked at have been frightful, and it reveals how terrible the Great Tribulation is going to be. And may I say that there is abroad today a viewpoint that I think is rather new, but it is a viewpoint that the Christian and the church, of course, will go through the Great Tribulation period. And I have an article here from a magazine of a man who actually is a layman, and yet he has the audacity to write like this. He says, "There is a shallow Christianity moving across our land. Those who do not have deep roots in Christ shrink from the idea that God would test his people with the tribulation or that he would use suffering to help the church make herself ready as a bride for Christ. Very clearly, though, suffering is the pathway to glory. We are called to it. Why? Because Christ also suffered, leaving us an example that we should follow in his step. As a result of this thinking, I no longer teach Christians they'll not have to go through the tribulation. Maybe they won't, but I can do more for them, preparing them to face testing in his name, than by teaching them that the Lord is going to rapture them out of the hour of trial." And he uses the verse, "There is a tremendous growth in that person who puts on the whole armor of God that he may be able to withstand in the evil day." Well, may I say to you that the Great Tribulation is not called the evil day. It's called the day of God's wrath, the great day of God's wrath. That's the way it's spoken of in the Bible, and how anyone can read what we've been over and study what we've been over and believe that this would purify the church to go through this and to make a statement that the bride's got to make herself ready. What do you think Christ did when he died on the cross? He made us ready there, and you and I, we'll never become worthy to enter his presence. We're going to enter in Christ. And my friend, you can't add anything to that. That notion that's abroad today, to attempt to equate that hour of trial with the great day of the wrath of God that's coming on this earth. Now, the church has been delivered from that, and Revelation has made that clear. This 144,000 here that we are looking at, why, they've already been identified for us as Israelites, and even the tribes are identified here. So there's no way in the world of saying that's the church, and that great company of Gentiles are Gentiles, not the church, the bride of Christ at all. This 144,000 have come through, and we have seen that God was able to keep them in the Great Tribulation period. Now, it's not a question of whether God could keep the church in the Great Tribulation period. Of course he can keep the church, if that was his will and plan. But that is not his will and plan according to the Word of God. The Lord Jesus said, "I'm going to keep you from that hour that is coming on this earth, that terrible time of testing that's coming." I like to put it like this. The church is not going through the great tribulation, but we're going through the little tribulation. I think all of us have troubles and trials, and I don't know of a Christian that doesn't have problems and difficulties, and it seems like the more wonderful the saint of God is, the more they suffer down here. But this is where God's developing us today as his children, and we never become wonderful saints of God. We're just his little children, immature, undeveloped, and when we come into his presence, we'll not come there because we've been through the great tribulation. And then, friends, most of the churches miss the great tribulation. Millions for 1,900 years have died and already gone into the presence of Christ. And I hope you're not going to say he's going to bring them back to put them through the great tribulation. I don't think so. Most of the churches missed it. At best, there'll only be a very small percentage. And probably you want to adopt the opinion that that crowd needs it. I always felt these people that believe the church will go through the great tribulation, they always felt I should go through it. I deserve it. I grant that. But I also deserve hell. But I'm not going to get it because Christ bore it for me. And I've trusted him. And I'm not going through the great tribulation. Why? Because he died for me. And he saves me by his grace. Now, isn't the one who says he's rich in grace, isn't he able to deliver me out of this? He says he's able to deliver me out of even the trials today. And he's been wonderful to me, cured me of cancer. And he has put me through two operations, major operations. And I want to tell you, I feel like I've been through a little tribulation period. And a preacher said to me, you know, I can tell that there's a difference in your ministry after you've gone through all of this. Well, I trust there is. I think he did it for a purpose. But to say I've been through the great tribulation and that I ought to go through it, and I wonder if this brother's really ever suffered for Christ. These folk that talk that way, I wonder how much suffering they've endured. I sat with a preacher that believes that. He's a friend of mine, and he was eating a T-bone steak. And he talked about the church going through the great tribulation. This man was holding a meeting for me years ago when I was a pastor back east. And he thought the church would go through the great tribulation period. Talked about it as nonchalantly as if the church was probably going to wade through a river or go through a very hot summer or experience an energy shortage or something like that. But he never thought of it as being as terrible as it is depicted for us here. And is God misrepresenting here to us? I want to scare you, and I'll tell you how terrible the Great Tribulation is, but really it's not. Well, my friends, there are places here where he's used symbols. And you know why he used symbols? Not because you can evaporate it and dismiss it, but because the reality that the symbol represents is lots worse than the symbol, because many of these things beg a description. There's not language. Even God could not communicate to us, not because God's not able, but we're dull of hearing. He's told us that, and that we don't always understand. And I'm afraid that a great many folk just don't seem to get it, that the great tribulation is a terrible thing. And this is miraculous. This 144,000 came through, and he didn't lose one of them. Why? Because they're all big, strong, robust fellas? Oh, no, friends. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. That's the way they did it. And now we're told that in this fourth verse, they're first fruits unto God and to the Lamb. Now, that has very definite reference to the nation Israel. Paul says in Romans 11, 15 and 16, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? For if the first fruits be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. So that these are the first fruits. And Israel is described as that, and especially this 144,000. Now they're going to, I think, occupy a unique place in the millennial kingdom. They will evidently be the vanguard with the Lamb when he returns to set up the kingdom. And we'll see that in the 19th chapter. Now, we're told in their mouth was found no lie. Why? Well, that means they did not participate in the big lie of the beast when he used lying wonders. They didn't fall for it. Remember, the Lord Jesus said that if it were possible to deceive the elect, well, they'd be deceived, but they won't be deceived. And they weren't. Now, they're without blemish. Now, why are they without blemish? Because they've been through the great tribulation, been purified? No. They're clothed with the righteousness of Christ. That's the way I'm going to heaven, friends. I'm not going to heaven because I think I'm good, because I know I'm not. And I say it again. If you knew me like I know myself, you'd shut that radio off now. But wait a minute. Don't turn that knob. Because if I knew you like you know yourself, I wouldn't be talking to you. But since we both, you know, alike we are, sinners saved by the grace of God, let me continue and you continue listening. And now I'm going to turn down to verses 6 and 7. And we have here the proclamation of the everlasting gospel, and we're reading from our own translation now. And I saw another angel, and here we go with another angel. There are a lot of another angels here. And another angel flying in mid-heaven, having an eternal gospel to proclaim unto them that dwell on the earth. And notice it's confined to those that now dwell on the earth. And unto every nation and tribe and tongue and people, and he saith with a great voice, fear God and give him glory, for the hour of his judgment is come, and worship him that made the heaven and the earth and sea and fountains of water. Now, the question naturally arises, how is this the gospel? Gospel means good tidings or good news. Is this good news? If you're God's child, it's good news, friend. And it's an eternal gospel. Is it the same gospel we preach? Yes, I want to say that it is the same gospel that we preach. But there's something been added, not to get saved, but now they can say that he's getting ready to come, that he's coming in judgment. And that's good news for God's people. It's bad news for the world. And this another angel denotes another radical change in the protocol of God's communication with the earth. This angel is the first in a parade of six angels, and I'll be calling attention to them as we go along. And this is the first one of six that will appear. During this age, the gospel has been committed to man, and they alone are the messengers. Angels would like to give it, but they'll not be permitted to. But at the beginning of the great tribulation, men are the messengers of God, as the 144,000 reveal. And even the two witnesses with supernatural power could not stand up against Satan, but were removed from the satanic scene of earth. Angels, as well as men, were the messengers of the Old Testament. In other words, the word spoken by angels was steadfast. Hebrews 2:2 records. The times are so intense in this period that only angels can get the messages of God through to the world. Angels are indestructible. Now, he's flying in mid-heaven. Now, that was a ridiculous statement a few years ago, and some of the critics of the Bible ridiculed it. It's not a ridiculous statement, because right now, out yonder in space, there is a satellite, I think it's called Telstar, isn't it? And they have several of them up there, and they are making worldwide television a practical reality, so that whatever happens in Israel, or England, or China, well, we don't get it from China very well, but Japan, you can not only get it that evening on your news, but you can get it just as it was happening. The picture brings it over here. And this is not so ridiculous. Again, may I say this eternal gospel, fear God is the message. Why? Well, the writer to the Proverbs says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In other words, he's saying to God's people, get wise, get smart, because you need to fear God. God saved you by his grace, but he's going to judge this earth. Now we have here in verse 8 the pronouncement of judgment on Babylon. And here in this chapter, he's bringing these before us that are going to appear again in the book. But he is giving us, as it were, a program that God is going to follow. Now, let me read. And another angel, a second. Here's another angel now. This is a second one. We're going to have six of them. Followed, saying, fell, fell is Babylon the Great, that made all the nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. Now, there is a book, I think it's out of print, but if you can put your hand on one of them, you ought to read it, and especially in these days. It's Hyslop's book on the two Babylons. It reveals that Babylon has been Satan's headquarters from the very beginning. This is the place where idolatry began. It's the fountainhead of idolatry. Semiramis was the wife of Nimrod. Some think his mother, and she married her own son. But be that as it may, why, she was queen of Babel, which later became Babylon, and she devised a nice little story that began a whole system of idolatry, and it was that she actually came out of an egg that came up out of the Euphrates River, and she cracked the shell and stepped out full grown. That's what she said. And she's been worshipped. It introduced the female principle into deity. And that reveals that Babylon began all of the false religion. Now, this second angel runs ahead and announces that which is yet to come as if it had already taken place. Fell, fell is Babylon. And if I may be technical for just a moment, this is in what is known as the prophetic aorist. In other words, God's prophetic word is so sure at this point that he speaks as though the event had already taken place. And it's just that sure. It's as if it were history already. But he's looking ahead. Now, Babylon will evidently be rebuilt during the Great Tribulation period. And if you have my book on Isaiah, you ought to turn to chapter 13, and you will see there that it is to be rebuilt, not in the same place that the judgment on it, which is predicted in Isaiah, is yet to come. Now, the idolatry of Babylon is a divine intoxication which will fascinate the entire world. And that's the reason we have all this experimenting today with Satan worship, with exorcism, and all that type of thing, these cults that arise today that are definitely satanic. Now, I read Jeremiah 51:7. It says, Babylon hath been a golden cup in the Lord's hand that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunk of her wine, therefore the nations are mad. If you could get off far enough and look at this earth today, I'm of the opinion you'd be a little disappointed in mankind and the nations of the world. Isaiah 13:11 says, and I'll punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. And again in Jeremiah 25, there we have the bringing down of the wrath of God upon the world. And in Isaiah 13:19, and Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, excellency shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. That's a judgment on Babylon that we're going to see, a religious Babylon in the 17th chapter and the commercial Babylon in the 18th chapter. But we'll have to leave off right there today. So until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
We still have a lot of ground to cover in this amazing book, so join us tomorrow as the Bible Bus comes round your corner at the same time. Until then, to deepen your own personal study of God's Word, visit the resources section of ttb.org or call us at 1-800-65-BIBLE. Again, that's 1-800-652-4253. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll meet you right back here as together we make our way through the Bible.
Jesus, hang it all to Him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Today's study with Dr. J. Vernon McGee is brought to you by Through the Bible, and it's made possible by the generous prayer and financial investments from listeners like you on the Bible Bus all around the world.